When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, it's a great time of the wrestling year. We have Big Ten seeds, and you wonder, okay, Big Ten seeds, what's the difference in seeds versus brackets? Basically, not much. Very little is going to change between the seeds we currently have and what the brackets are going to ultimately be, which is great because we can speculate a ton on the potential matchups. We have a really good idea of who's going to wrestle who and when. The buys at the Big Tens are set, the ones and the two seeds get the bye every single time. This is a change, actually. If you've been following wrestling a while, you know that they used to randomly draw the brackets or randomly draw the byes, and then it could get a little unfair because one team would have more. Anyways, a little extra detail there. But want to get into these weights. We're going to go kind of weight by weight through the brackets, what the good early matchups are, and who I think is going to end up winning the bracket ultimately. Now, 125. See, I went with cards this time. I normally write it all on a whiteboard and then I can refer to it, but I don't know if I could have written 14 seeds for 10 weights on a board successfully without having to like move. So we're going with the cards today. We'll see how I like it. We'll see how you like it. We'll see how it goes. 125, we got the top seed, Matt Ramos and Drake Ayala. 1 and 2, not a huge surprise there. Eric Barnett, the 3, Pat McKee, the 4, Caleb Smith, the 5. Now this is, of course, 125. Caveat every single time, this is a weight of a lot of variability and chaos, and I think we could see it here because if you look at the 7 seed D'Agostino, the 6 seed Braden Davis, 8 and 9 Peterson McCrone, those are really tough. Now, who are they going to wrestle? Well, 2nd seed Drake Ayala will likely have Michael D'Agostino in the second round, the 7 versus 2 matchup, hits in round 2. That's a tough one. That's D'Agostino beat him last time. We'll have Braden Davis versus Eric Barnett. I don't believe we saw this one during the regular season. Huge match there. We could be very well looking at a semifinal that's number 6 seed Braden Davis versus number 7 seed Michael D'Agostino. That should not surprise you at all. At the top side, it's maybe a little more clear, although it's Pat McKee, so nothing is ever that clear. But if you watch Pat McKee versus Caleb Smith last time around, you know Pat McKee dominated this match. It was a technical fall, and it was a technical fall in a hurry against Nebraska's Caleb Smith. Caleb Smith has been excellent this year. Don't get it twisted, as the kids would say. This guy's really, really good and dangerous, but for whatever reason, I don't know what was going on in that match, but it unraveled in a hurry for Smith. And that's a quarterfinal matchup, a 4 seed versus 5 seed. Winner there will likely get Matt Ramos. Of course, he'll have to get by the winner of Dean Peterson and Brendan McCrone. Peterson's a tough guy out of the 9. I mean, he's in a lot of matches. He's hard to blow out. He's tough to score on. He's good in the scrambles. If you're looking for a sleeper pick at 125, a deep, a high-seeded guy, Dean Peterson of Rutgers is very, very interesting. So that's 125. That's kind of how I see it. Everyone knows my prediction now for a couple months has been Matt Ramos to win this weight class at NCAAs. Feels like I can't pick against that. I'll stick with Matt Ramos winning this. I like his path to make it to the finals. He's already beaten McKee this year. That was a close match, though. Really close match, but he got the takedown there. And so you favor Matt Ramos to make the final. Out of the bottom, I'm not any more surprised if Drake Ayala makes the finals, if Michael D'Agostino makes the finals, or Braden Davis, or Eric Barnett. I really think it's that even. I think it might be Barnett. It wouldn't surprise me at all if he ends up being it. But I've got Matt Ramos, Big Ten champ. 133. This is going to be a fun one. This is going to be a really exciting weight class. Dylan Ragusan started the year. He's your top seed at 133. He started the year in red shirt. They pull his red shirt because Chris Cannon is out with injury for this season. His career is done. So they've got Ragusan at 133. And he's been great this year. He's the number one seed, and he earned it. He beat everyone. He beat Nagao. He's kind of taken every test and passed it with flying colors. You got Shaver of Rutgers, the 2, Bouzakis of Ohio State, the 3, Van Dee, the 4, Nagao, the 5. Now, one really interesting, this is not the deepest weight class, Then again, Brody Teske is the 14 seed. That's totally insane because Brody, something happened with entering him in for the Big Ten championships, and I don't know what happened, but they entered him late, so he gets the 14 seed. He would be probably seeded like 6 normally, but he's the 14 for some reason. So he has Nick Bouzakis in round one. That is by far the best round one matchup. And you favor Bouzakis, but we've seen Bouzakis over the years. He can struggle sometimes in matches, early in matches, off the scale. It could be interesting. I don't think you can count Teske out in that match. Now, what I'm excited for, we're going to have a Nagal-Vandee quarterfinal match. That's the 4-5 matchup. Vandee's the 4 seed, Nagal's the 5, but I actually favor Nagal there, and I think it's Nagal-Ragusan semi, and I'm going with Nagal to pull off the upset. If you haven't watched this match yet from the dual meet, Ragusan versus Nagal, it was a great match. It ended in overtime with Ragusan winning by fall. He got a counter off a takedown. He held him on his back for the danger count and then ultimately got the pin. It was a crazy match. Amazing match from Ragusan Nagal, and I'm hopeful we can get a semi that's that exciting there. Down below, Shaver, Bouzakis, Teske, they're all interesting to make that semifinal round. I'm actually going to go with Bouzakis. I think he can get by Teske. He's got a lot of ways to score. He'll do one thing in match, you're like, what was going on there? But he also does a lot of brilliant things, and he can do some special things because he's really, really powerful. So I think it's Aaron Nagal over Bouzakis. I don't know if I really think that, honestly, because the match last time was Bouzakis over Nagal, and it was kind of not that close. Nagal got a couple takedowns late or a couple scores late that made it a little closer than it was. But whatever, I'm riding with Nagal. We'll see how it plays out. But Ragusan winning this weight shouldn't surprise anyone. 41, this is the weight of weights at not only Big Ten championships, but conference, of all conference weekends, this weight is insane. You've got number one, Bo Bartlett. Number two, Jesse Mendez. Number three, Real Woods. That guy was in the national finals. He's the 3 seed here. Number four, Brock Hardy. He was in the Big Ten finals last year. Number five, Sergio Limley. He beat Real Woods. He's beaten a lot of really good guys this year. Number six, Danny Pussino. And then it drops off a little bit there. Mitch Moore's tough for Rutgers. So how do I see this one playing out? Well, the quarterfinal match between Limley and Hardy is going to be great because if you saw their dual meet match, this was, I don't know if it was back and forth because it feels like Hardy was kind of in control most of that match, but Limley was right there to take this dude out. I mean, it was extremely close. I think Hardy gets it done again, but this is going to be an exciting match. Sergio Limley is the real deal, and I think he's a real threat to place at NCAAs at 141, even though he's a true freshman. So that'll set up a semi against Bo Bartlett, Brock Hardy, Bo Bartlett. If you saw this match in the dual meet, very contentious, very close. Brock Hardy has an uncanny ability to get to legs and to get to Bo Bartlett's legs, which is notable because Bo is a really hard guy to score on. I think Bo has proven he just knows how to win these matches. So I've got him winning this one. I think he can make a couple adjustments and clean up some of the head-hand stuff that allow Brock Hardy to get in. But at the end of the day, Brock's probably going to have opportunities to score. So I've got Bo over Brock in that semi. Down below, I've got Mendez versus Woods. I think there's nothing disrupting that from being a semifinal. It's a match we've wanted to see for a while. They didn't duel each other. They didn't see each other at tournaments, so this will be the first time we see it. It's going to be an absolute battle. Real Woods looked good the last couple weeks. He looked great against Oklahoma State. I think he's kind of refinding his groove, relocating maybe, and he's my pick to make that final. Bo Bartlett, Real Woods final. I've got Bo until proven otherwise, but Real Woods wins this tournament. No one should be surprised. And the winner of this bracket is going to leave. I don't know if they'll leave the one seed just because that can be a little tricky and there's guys with losses there, but I think the winner of this bracket is the favorite to win NCAAs. So high stakes there, going to 149. Another great weight. You've got Ridge Love at the 1. Austin Gomez, the 2. The ultimate wild card of wild cards, sitting at the 2 seed. Number 3, Caleb Rachi. Number 4, Tyler Kasak. 5, All-American Dylan D'Amelio. This weight's pretty deep. Ethan Miller from Maryland, a fun guy to watch. Keep your eye out for him, even though this is a really tough weight. He's good. Okay, so how do I see this one playing out? Well, I think based on previous matchups, it could go a little chalk up top. I think Ridge Lovett makes it to the semis without much disruption. I think we see Tyler Kasak once again beat Dylan Demila. He beat him pretty soundly in the dual meet. Kasak's probably only going to be getting better. He's a true freshman. His curve is steep. He's got a lot of ways to score. Love watching this guy wrestle. He was a 41-pounder. Van Ness goes out with injury. This guy has stepped up and been excellent. I don't think he's ready to knock off Ridge Lovett. That was a close match, granted. But I think Ridge gets it done here, wins that semifinal over Tyler Kasak. And then down below, I think Gomez cruises to the finals. I think he beats Zargo, and then it's probably Rachi. But don't sleep on Ethan Miller taking out Caleb Rachi here. But he's got to be ready to go 7 minutes because Rachi has a really good tank. So that's a potential upset, but I got it chalk here this time. I've got Ridge Lovett over Austin Gomez. I think Austin can win it. He's beaten Ridge Lovett before, but I can't unsee the events of that dual meet where Ridge, it wasn't just the neutral wrestling from Austin, because you can clean some of that up and not take some of those risks that Austin took and getting down in a hole early. But it's the top wrestling from Ridge Lovett that I'm not sure Austin can figure that out in a matter of weeks. We'll see. I think that's going to be our final. I think it'll be a good one. But I've got Ridge. 57. Levi Haynes is, I mean, this last month, look at these scores. 10-3 over Peyton Robb. Domination over Jared Franek. These are guys that have been ranked number one and number two in America at different points in their careers. I mean, Peyton Robb won CKLV this year. He's really good. And Levi's just been, it seems like he's on a trajectory upwards and improving even from where he was earlier this season. I don't see anyone stopping him. And that's a really loaded side where you've got Haynes, the one, Franek, the four, Peyton Robb, the five. I mean, look at this 8-9. Joey Blaze of Purdue and Chumbly of Northwestern, those guys are dog tough. They could very well be wrestling in the All-American round, but wrestling in the round of 12. They're really, really good. I mean, Chumbly has beaten some great guys. He beat Meyer Shapiro this year that, you know, I think very highly of, and many others do as well. Joey Blaze beat Ed Scott this season. He's really tough. And that's going to be, Haynes will wrestle the winner of that match. That'll be a great matchup. And that'll be one of the better 8-9 matchups, Blaze versus Chumbly. Not going to want to miss that. Then Robb versus Franek. We'll get to see this one. It's tough to know. I mean, Robb's really been on a little bit of a slide the last couple months. And for that reason, until I see him really put it back together again a couple matches in a row, I'm going to go with Franek to make the semi. But I think his run stops there. I think Levi Haynes takes care of business, makes his way to the finals. Down below, we're going to have Michael Blockus is the 2 seed. 7 seed, Will Lewan. He's a multiple All-American. Chase Saldate, they hose this guy in the seeds. Plain and simple. He has 1 loss. He wrestled every Big Ten match. His only loss is to Levi Haynes. Margin of victory doesn't matter there, but that was an extremely close competitive match. And guys that are seated ahead of him, when he dueled that team, that guy didn't wrestle. So he wrestled, beat, for example, Indiana's guy. But Brayton Lee didn't wrestle. Brayton Lee got the 3 seed. I thought that was a little funny. I didn't quite like that. But good news is Saldate and Lee will wrestle in the quarterfinal round, second round, in all likelihood. So I'm excited for that one, and Saldate can maybe rectify things a little bit. And Brayton Lee, listen, I think his approach has been smart. This is a guy that's been battling injuries for so long. He wrestled a limited schedule, and look where it's got him. He's 8-0. He looks to be wrestling really well at the end of the year. That's what he wanted to do. He wants to go out with a chance to wrestle for Big Ten and national honors. And I'm glad to see Brayton Lee wrestling. But, I thought that seeding was a little weird. Michael Blockus has been excellent this year. He beat Peyton Robb. He's beaten Jared Franek. He's been tough, but he's got to get by Will Lewan in the second round. This is not really that favorable of a draw. You know if you're wrestling Will Lewan, it's probably going to be close. I think this one will be close as well. Blockus has been the man this year. I don't have a ton of confidence in this. I'm supremely confident Levi Haynes is going to not only win his side, but win his weight class, win the title here at Big Ten. But I don't know. Bottom, I wouldn't be surprised if Brayton, Saldate, Lewan, or Blockus, all four of those guys, I'm not saying that. I'm not doing like a hedge thing. I really genuinely believe all four of those guys are good enough to make a Big Ten final. I'll be lame and say the 2 seed Blockus gets it done because he has been the best of the bunch this year. but the margins are so, so narrow that picking any one of these guys probably is from an odds perspective, not that wise. So I'm going Blockus, but I think he loses to Haynes because I think Haynes has beaten everybody in America, and it's maybe by a lot. 65, great weight. Cannot wait. Maybe one of my most anticipated. I think I said it's my most anticipated conference matchup, this potential final. We'll get to it. Top seed, Dean Hamady for Wisconsin. Number two seed, one of the biggest stories of the season, Mitchell Messenbrink at Penn State. Everyone loves watching this guy wrestle. Number three, Mikey Caliendo. Number four, Caleb Fish. Antrell Taylor of Nebraska. And the sixth seed, Cam Amin. This is a guy, he plays very, very high. He's been ranked extremely high in his career, multiple All-American. He's the sixth seed. It's not been a great year for Cam, but he's in a position where he can, you know, make some noise still at the conference and NCAA tournament. Here's how I see this playing out. I think Hamady is going to cruise to the finals. I don't think Caleb Fish or Antrell Taylor, whoever wins that quarter, can really present much of a challenge to Dean. I mean, his scoring ability is as good as anyone at the weight outside of some of the national champions we've got going on here. So Dean Hamady going to be definitely a guy to watch out for. Down below, Caliendo Messenbrink. But before Caliendo gets to Messenbrink, he's going to have to get by Cam Amin. That's if Cam is on, and that's a question, right? We don't know. We don't know how well Cam is going to be feeling. There's maybe been some health things. I'm not sure what's been going on, but he hasn't looked as good as we've seen him in the past. Caliendo can't, and I'm sure he won't look past Cam Amin in that second round. That's going to be a close competitive match. I think Caliendo gets it done. I think he gets by Cam Amin. He's got really great leg attacks, and you need them. And you need a couple of them to take down someone as stingy as Cam Amin. But I think he does it. And so I think that sets up a rematch between Caliendo and Mitchell Messenbrink. It was Messenbrink early, and he got up a big lead. Caliendo was able to get a takedown, maybe two, but at the end of it, it was a pretty one-sided match for Mitchell Messenbrink. I think it's a little tighter this time. Caliendo looked like he was learning a couple things. But at the end of it, it's Mitchell. It's Mitchell winning here. And it sets up the match that I can't wait for, the one I'm most excited for, the one that I'm saying has zero chance of being boring. No way. It's not going to happen. There's no way that Dean Hamady and Mitchell Messenbrink can wrestle each other and it be boring. Could be a blowout one way or the other. I don't know. I think it's going to be really competitive. I think both guys end up getting takedowns. Mitchell has shown, although he's extremely dominant, he'll mix it up. And if he gives up a takedown, he's sort of undeterred. Similarly, I think we could see a little bit of that with Hamady. I don't know if the mat's going to be a factor. Dean is tough from the top position, as is Mitchell. But I see this being a really exciting neutral matchup. And I'm going Mitchell. I've got a little bit of confidence. I'm like 60-40 on this one. I won't say coin flip. I do think Mitchell's has an advantage, but you know he's undefeated. Maybe taking a loss here could set him up well and get a little bit the monkey off your back of an undefeated season. Maybe not. I don't know, but I'm sticking with Mitchell. I think he gets it done here and goes undefeated into NCAAs as a freshman. Pretty impressive stuff. 74, man, this is maybe the number one story in wrestling right now. The health, the availability, the wrestling of Carter Starace. He got hurt his last match. It looked bad. We don't know how bad. Knee injury, right knee. It was weird position, and now we're wondering how healthy he's going to be. I think there's a lot of positives you could take from Cale Sanderson's media day, where he was obviously asked about this and asked about this a couple times. And while we don't have the absolute, yeah, he's going to for sure wrestle the whole time no matter what, it was basically like they're going to assess it, but it made me feel like he's going to wrestle some matches. But they also said, you know, he was asked if they would consider like a Nolf-like tactic from 2018 when Nolf wrestled two matches and then forfeited out. He said they'll kind of look at all options, which means that option is probably on the table at the very least. But for Carter, you know, we'll see if he does a match or two. We're going to be able to learn a lot there. But there's 13 other wrestlers this way, so I'll stop. Shane Griffith, the 2. Patrick Kennedy, the 3. At the 4, Edmund Ruth, 5, Rocco Welsh. Really, if you listen to FRL or anything I've been talking, really high on Rocco Welsh. This is a true freshman that you watched him as a high school wrestler. Like, he's going to be ready to rock and roll as a freshman. And that's basically been the case. He's been the real deal. He's taken a couple losses. He lost to Edmund Ruth. And that's why I'm really excited for that rematch in that quarterfinal, that 4-5 quarterfinal. Winner there will get Carter Storace, probably. If he's healthy, for sure. If he's not, who knows? So that's just a lot of intrigue there. And as we know, Carter and Rocco wrestled, a month and a half ago. And Carter, he looked great early and then got a little tired, got hit for stalling at the end. Now, we now know that Carter was dealing with a little bit of illness there. Was maybe, hurting his performance to a degree. But that being said, I'm not going to pick. I have to see Carter Storace not get his hand raised on the mat before I even entertain the idea of not picking him to win every match he's in. So I got him winning that side. I think he beats Rocco Welsh. I think Welsh gets revenge against Edmund Ruth. And then we've got Carter Storace in the finals. And I think he's going to be taking on Shane Griffith. I think the matchups are strong for him. We saw how he looked against Patrick Kennedy. But I will say, I wouldn't put all my eggs in the last matchup basket, right? There's still going to be problems there. Now Griffith handled Kennedy, and I don't think Kennedy's making that gap up necessarily. But I think it's going to narrow. I think it's going to narrow considerably. I don't think Kennedy's going to go under him. I would think not. I would think you go neutral, try to let your pace be a thing. He looked really good against Braden Thompson. He's looked good basically since that match. I feel like he's looked excellent. Even in defeat against Carter Storace, people came away and be like, man, Kennedy really wrestled well there. And I agree. He's really rounded in the form. As the season has gone on, Kennedy's gotten better and better. But Griffith is a guy that will turn it on at the end of the season. And you can't forget about that aspect as well. I've got Griffith. I don't think it's boring and chalk. I think it's just what's going to happen. Shane Griffith's a national champion. He majored Kennedy last time around. Storace over Griffith. Storace, a Big Ten champ yet again at 174. 184. Isaiah Salazar for Minnesota. This guy's a savage. If you haven't watched him wrestle yet, really fun guy to watch. Highly entertaining. As is the 2-seed. This dude's kooky. Lenny Pinto. Maybe the strongest guy, like pound for pound anyway. Just the things he does on the mat just sometimes don't even make a lot of sense. I remember Ben was telling me, like, if you watch a guy and he's doing something and you're like, you're not really sure how he does it, he's probably really, really strong. And I think James Green tweeted, Lenny Pinto is the strongest man in the world. And his wrestling shows it. He wrestles like a really strong guy. He's fun. He's got a lot of different attacks. He's fearless. And I'm really excited to watch Lenny wrestle. And I'm really excited for the potential semi that I think we'll get against the 3-seed Bernie Truax of Penn State. This was a match at the Duel. Lenny came out early, got a couple takedowns, and then seemed to get a little tired towards the end, or Bernie was just figuring a couple things out. Bernie started to get into his patented lefty single leg, which is so nice. It's as smooth a single leg as you'll see in NCAA wrestling, Bernie Truax. Started to get a takedown, almost got a takedown at the end, not quite. And so you left thinking like, okay, Lenny got him this time, but Bernie can get him back. I'm going to go Pinto this time. I think he does it. I think it's a closer match. I think Bernie makes some adjustments. Don't count out Bernie winning this weight altogether. I think I'm picking the winner of this weight to win the bracket, which is probably not that smart because Isaiah Salazar has beaten Lenny Pinto, I'm pretty sure, every time they've wrestled. And I do think it's going to be Salazar that makes it. Now, he's going to have an interesting path. He could have the always dangerous, the most fearless wrestler in NCAA wrestling, Brian Soldano, who will do, this guy will go to his back to put you on your back. He's got high flyers. He's got throws. He's fearless, if nothing else. And that could be the second match for Salazar. And then we also got Ryder Rogotsky, the 4-seed. There's a lot of lunatics at 184. You got Rogotsky, you've got Soldano, Lenny Pinto, and Salazar's a savage too. But I've got Salazar taking out Rogotsky, and then Pinto gets it done this time against Salazar. This is a way I feel like I don't have a good read on because I strongly believe that Bernie Truax can win this match, but maybe not this week. Maybe it's one we see at NCAAs. 197, this is the weight of Aaron Brooks, a man along with his teammate Carter Strachey, going for their fourth NCAA title. He's going for another Big Ten title. He's your top seed here. He's undefeated on the year. Second seed, Jackson Smith from Terps. They'll be wrestling in his home gym. That's going to be exciting. Jackson is really fun to watch. He's got great duck unders, and he does this awesome, like, claw lift and return where he puts really good guys on their back, including Tanner Sloan. So if you haven't watched Jackson Smith yet, you should definitely check him out at the Big Ten Championships. Curious, he's going to have an All-American potentially in the second round, John Posnanski of Rutgers. Now, Pos has not been what he was as a true freshman, but still a dangerous wrestler there in round two. Zach Glazier will likely have Luke Geog of Ohio State in his second match. I think Glazier gets it done, but I bet this is a tighter match. And then it's Glazier taking on Jackson Smith. I think Smith gets this done. I think he's got a little more offense. But, man, my radar on Zach Glazier is perpetually off. I get it wrong just about every time. I think I got it right in the Cerber match, so I feel good about that. But I think Jackson just got a couple more ways to score. One thing to consider is the pace and the hand fighting of Glazier is a real thing. This guy's not just a, you know, when he beat Silas Allred, people were a little dismissive of that. It was just one win, one time. Something was up with, I mean, I think I may even say, hey, that something must have been up with Silas Allred. People don't just major Silas Allred like that. And he did, and he's been nothing but great since then. So Glazier's the real deal. I think he falls to Jackson Smith here, but it's going to be a really competitive match. And then up top, I talked about Silas Allred. He'll have Joels of Minnesota in that quarterfinal match. Winner gets Aaron Brooks. It's going to be Aaron Brooks. Brooks comes out of the top side, takes out Jackson Smith. I think he got the major last time. Maybe not a major this time, but I think it'll be a pretty pretty one-sided win for Aaron Brooks of Penn State. And then we go to heavyweight. Honestly, one of the there's a reality that there's one All-American out of this bracket, which is crazy to think because Big Ten at every weight gets multiple All-Americans, right? Well, this one, I mean, you got Kerfley, who is the runaway, not runaway, but he's the consensus number one in America at 285. And he hasn't been really tested this year, and I don't think he's going to be tested at Big Tens. The two-seed Nick Felbin, love watching him. He'll be a guy, I think he'll at least wrestle in the round of 12. Will he win? Will he lose? I'm not sure. But this is a pretty deep weight nationally. It's not that deep at the Big Ten. He will likely have Bradley Hill in his second match, and then eventually Lucas Davison. Now, Lucas Davison, I think he's a good candidate to make the finals here. That was a really close match last time. Davison kind of, I don't say he had it, but he had it to win late. Feldman, late match heroics. We all remember it was an exciting, exciting match. I think Davison gets a little bit of revenge, makes the finals, but he's going to fall to Kerfley. And I do think Davison has a good, he's a guy who's placed in the past, but it's going to be, it's going to be tough. Heavyweights are really, really good weight class nationally. So that's how I see the weights playing out. Team race wise, it's Penn State. It's Penn State by a lot. They are projected to score 151 points. And, you know, I kind of ran through it, but I think there's a little opportunity for them to actually maybe potentially increase that with bonus and some higher placements than they have projected. But what gets interesting is the battle for second, third, and fourth is just on a razor's edge. Michigan is projected to get 98.5, Nebraska 96.5, Iowa 94.5, and then Ohio State not too far back themselves in fifth place in terms of projection. So that is going to be an extremely competitive race for those second and third place trophies, just like it's going to be nationally for the trophy race, second and third, because that's wide open. It's been wide open all year long, and that's not going to change coming out of Big Ten. So we'll be excited to see who can bring home second. So that's it. That's my preview for Big Ten championships. I really want to know, what do you think? Who are your Big Ten champs? What picks did I totally blow? I want to hear from you. Thanks for watching.